Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
The U.S. and Canada just marked a century of cooperative conservation, the 100th anniversary of the Boundary Waters Treaty. The treaty guides management of the Great Lakes, which contain one-fifth of the world's fresh surface water. And the anniversary comes just as that treaty is being renegotiated to better respond to new challenges like climate change and invasive species. Dr. John Gannon is senior scientist for the International Joint Commission that advises both countries on the lakes. Gannon says the Boundary Waters Treaty was the world's first environmental agreement between two nations, and it came at a time when environmental issues were nearly unheard of.
Back in 1900, was kind of the peak of cholera and typhoid fever epidemics. Folks thought that the Great Lakes were so large they couldn't be polluted, so the intakes for drinking water were very close to the untreated sewage outfalls. So that was a huge problem in 1900. And at the same time, hydropower was starting to be developed on the Niagara River, and so there were some conflicts between, of course, Great Britain in behalf of the Dominion of Canada and the United States at the time. So both water quantity and water quality issues were in conflict at that time that spurred the negotiations for the Boundary Waters Treaty.
Interesting. So it was initially driven primarily by public health aspects of dealing with sewage and also this hydropower thing. How have the concerns evolved over time?
Well, the neat thing about the treaty is that the two governments at the time didn't want their conflicts on water quantity or water quality to get into very costly and time-consuming international courts of law. So the unique aspect is they actually created an independent organization, the International Joint Commission. So the water quality agreement last got revised in 1987, and since then we're much more concerned about climate change and invasive species and some other issues. So there's quite a lot of issues that the public is interested in.
Now, there are a lot of thirsty states in the arid regions of the country who look up at all that yummy fresh water in the Great Lakes and say, hey, if we had a long enough straw, we could get some of that. What's the status of that kind of thinking? Has that been nipped in the bud, or are there still projects afoot that might draw down water from the Great Lakes and export it?
Well, this is another good success story in the eight Great Lakes states and the province of Ontario and Quebec, and it's called the Great Lakes Compact. There was a proposal for a private body to take Great Lakes water and put it in a container ship and sell it overseas to those parched places. And so some of the other Great Lakes jurisdictions said, hey, wait, that's our water too. So there is a mechanism in place now where if one jurisdiction wants to use that straw, as you say, the others have to approve it.
Now, you've been working on this for quite a while now. Compare, say, the Lake Erie you saw in the 60s to the lake you see today.
Oh, it's better. There's no question about that. What I like to tell the public is we've got kind of this mix of positive and negative things going on all on at once. So back then, the lake sturgeon was almost completely gone. The walleye population was extremely depressed. Bald eagles weren't reproducing. And so today, we've got recovery of lake sturgeon, lake whitefish are making a comeback. The walleye is in population is much better shape than it was back then. The bald eagles are nesting on the shoreline throughout the lake. So we've got a lot of these very, very positive things that are going on. But then yet zebra mussel came in, and we've got lots more upsets in the system going on. And actually, I've worked on the Great Lakes since 1966 when I was a graduate student, and I never thought I'd ever see in my lifetime some of these bad algae and weed problems that we saw in the 60s come back in Lake Erie today. So we can't let our guard down, and that's the importance, I think, of the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement and this recent announcement that the governments are updating it.
Dr. John Gannon is a senior scientist at the International Joint Commission working to make sure that the Great Lakes stay that way. Great. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Just ahead, the tale of some unsung heroes of the environmental movement, the Coast Guard Service. Stay with us on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.